I don't know if I've ever shared this story with you before. I thought this is a great story. This lady in New York who started a business, she found an opportunity here because in New York City, if your pet dies, there's a problem. You know, how do you bury, how do you remove a deceased pet, you know? And New York City would charge $50 to come and remove the pet, to dispose of the pet. Well, this lady found an opportunity here, and she said she could dispose of your deceased pet for $25. And people were curious, how's she doing this? Well, she told somebody the secret. She said she'd go to Goodwill, and she'd buy some cheap luggage, and she'd put the deceased pet in a suitcase, and then she would start riding the subway until the suitcase disappeared. Yeah, somebody would open that suitcase and get a big surprise there. So that's one story. Let me share this story with you. There's a burglar broke into a house and began stealing all the valuables, and he heard a voice and said, "Jesus is watching you." Well, he freaked out. I mean, what are you going to do, you know? So he just stands still, he freezes, and then he's thinking he must be hearing something, you know? He gets back to business, he starts stealing things, and hears the voice again, "Jesus is watching you." He's thinking the voice came from the corner. He went over to the corner. He sees a birdcage. And in the birdcage is a parrot. And he starts talking to this parrot. "What's your name?" Parrot says, "Moses." Well, who would name their parrot Moses? The same people who named their Rottweiler Jesus. Yeah. All right, I got more, but it's going to get dangerous if I give you more here. So we're in the eighth commandment. The eighth commandment, "Thou shalt not steal." You shall not steal. And you would think, okay, this is an easy one. I mean, everybody knows this is wrong, right? So why do we even talk about it? It's not like we have a problem in our society with this issue, right? Because everybody knows this is wrong. It's not like we have to have locks on all of our doors and security systems and security guards and passwords and watchdogs and all the stuff that goes with this command, because apparently nobody's following this command. So in some neighborhoods you gotta have, your car has to have a security system. You can buy a club for your steering wheel. You can buy locks for your hubcaps. You can buy a stereo that you can remove the face of the stereo. Now, I read someplace, in some neighborhoods, if you stop too long, they will steal your paint job. So I'm not sure how they do that, but this is not the way it's supposed to be. And I was very mindful, you know, in the Garden of Eden, they didn't have this problem. It was paradise, and they didn't have to have passwords and locks and all these security systems. But today, for some reason, it's big business, security, because we live in a society that stealing is so commonplace. The word steal, it's in your outline, it's the Greek word klepto, and you recognize the word. To take something, to take something that does not belong to you, to snatch away, to take unjustly. And I would propose out here, there's two mindsets about stealing. There's one type of stealing that, you know, it's just wrong. And then there's another type of stealing that, you know, it's really no big deal, everybody's doing it. There's one kind of stealing that if you do it, you are labeled a bad person. But the other type of stealing, you know, it's just expected, I guess. It's just the way it is. It's just so it's no big deal. So I got here some types of stealing. One type of stealing, basic theft. So you think about basic theft, just get that one out of the way. Burglars, robbers, muggers. You find the story with the Good Samaritan. The Good Samaritan was beat up, left for dead, stripped naked. By people who just came and took his stuff. 1.2 million times a year, muggers take by force, leaving one-third of their victims injured. 1.2 million times a year. These are bad people. We all would say they're bad people. They have no regard for life. They don't care if they hurt you. They have no moral compass, no sense of right and wrong. They just want your stuff, and they'll do whatever they have to take your stuff. These are bad people. All right, so that's an easy one, right? But then we get to another category where you got sophisticated theft. That's what I called it, sophisticated theft. They don't take by force. They take more by deception. And I've got a picture that I want to show you here. This is a Norman Rockwell painting. And I don't know if you can see what's going on here. It's a painting, a butcher and a dainty woman. The butcher is pushing down on the scale. The woman's pushing up on the scale. And I mean, they're not bad people. They're just trying to get away with something, right? What does the Bible say? The Bible says in Proverbs 20, verse 23, the Lord detests differing weights and dishonest scales. Do not please him. Proverbs 10, verse 2, ill-gotten treasures are of no value, but righteousness delivers from death. So, you know, you can look at that painting, and you go, oh, that's cute, that's funny. You laugh at it. It's a man trying to make a living. It's a woman trying to get away with a little extra. I mean, that's all it is, right? Or are these bad people? In God's eyes, would they be bad people? He detests differing weights and dishonest scales. So basic theft is when someone robs a bank. You know, what do you call that person? A bank robber, right? Well, a sophisticated theft is when somebody's working on the inside. Somebody works for the bank and they rob the bank. What do you call that person? That person's an embezzler. Okay. So if someone's stealing from the government, you would call that tax evasion. Somebody who works inside the government and steals, that would be a politician. Okay, see how this works? Okay, someone who embezzles is someone who betrays a trust. They've been given a position, and they are expected to do the right thing, but they abuse that. They're betraying a trust to take what is not rightfully theirs. Someone who extorts is someone who abuses their authority to take what is not rightfully theirs. So you can embezzle, you can extort. I found a passage in Luke chapter 3. This is John the Baptist. John the Baptist, he's talking to tax collectors. Tax collectors came to be baptized, and they said, "Teacher, what should we do?" And he says, "Don't collect any more than you are required to." So what he's saying, don't embezzle. Don't use your position to embezzle from other people. Don't betray the people's trust. And then he's talking to some soldiers. The soldiers came and asked, what must we do? He replied, don't extort money and don't accuse people falsely. Be content with your pay. So he says, don't extort. Don't abuse your authority to take what is not yours. So to the tax collectors, to the soldiers, oh, there you go, Veterans Day. There you go. So there you go. Nice Veterans Day sermon right here. Don't extort. Don't abuse your authority. This is not God's will. But you see, we don't see ourselves as thieves. So you would think we should be able to skip this command. You know, there's nothing to see here. But I'm thinking the sophisticated theft stuff. You could take this in so many directions. What about insurance fraud? Insurance fraud. One-third of the people hurt in an auto accident exaggerate their injuries, adding $13 to $18 billion to America's annual insurance bill. And everybody's doing it, right? So you get hurt and you exaggerate it so you can get a little bit more money from the. Who's paying for that? Who's paying? All of our premiums go up because everybody's doing it. Insurance fraud costs the average American household over $5,000 a year in the form of higher premiums because we're all a bunch of thieves. Conservatively, fraud steals $80 billion a year across all lines of insurance. Insurance fraud is the largest criminal enterprise in the United States right after drug trafficking. So that's insurance fraud. What is insider trading? And think about insider trading, just a little note here. What is more dangerous? The average mugger who robs you at gunpoint to take $100 or the CEO of Enron who steals your entire retirement savings account? You know, what's more dangerous? What's more lethal? Bernie Madoff, you know, put him in here. Just the things that people are doing and just everybody's doing it, right? Tax evasion. Jesus says, give to Caesar what is Caesar's. Pay your taxes. A Christian should be okay with paying their taxes. But what do? We look for loopholes, and loopholes is one thing. It's one thing to take a tax deduction. That's good stewardship. But another thing to practice tax evasion. That's a form of stealing. And then I wrote this down, employee theft. Retailers lose $10 billion a year in theft. $10 billion a year in theft. 60% by their own employees who are stealing from them. Taking the pencils, taking the staplers, taking the tape, taking the furniture, taking stuff when nobody's looking out the back door. All these things. So 60%, the average employee steals 5.5 times more than the average shoplifter. The employees are doing this to the company. So what does the company do? Raises all the prices on everything. You're paying more at the store because of all the people who are stealing. And there's time theft. You think about time theft, which I'm thinking we're all guilty of this stuff. In addition to stealing and stealing items, employees are guilty of stealing time. The average employee wastes a little over 2 hours a day. And so, you know, an 8-hour work day, you come in late, you leave early, you take an extended lunch break, and then while you're at the office or while you're at work, you know, you're on the internet. 42% of the time that we waste, we're wasting on the internet, surfing the net, social media, Facebook, all that stuff, watching cat videos. So we're on the internet or we're socializing. You know, you go to somebody who's working and say, hey, what you doing? Well, I'm not working right now. Hey, me neither. You want to talk? You know, what'd you do this weekend? And so you waste 15 minutes. You waste 45 minutes talking to somebody where you're supposed to be working. We're doing personal business. Instead of working for the employee, we're doing personal business. 6% of the time we waste our time paying our bills or fixing our calendars or returning emails, all these different things that we do. Total cost to the company is estimated to be $579 billion each year that companies across America are losing because we're wasting time. And we're thinking, you know, this is no big deal, right? It's no big deal. I wrote down here. Imagine buying 8 gallons of paint and coming home with only 5 gallons. That's what your employer is doing. He's buying 8 hours of your day, but you're only giving him five. So I hope that's a good illustration here for us to think about. See, your work ethic is your witness. When you tell people you're a Christian and you go to work and you're stealing from your boss, you're stealing from the company, and you think it's no big deal, everybody else is doing it, well, everybody's watching you because you call yourself Christian. So your witness is at stake. There's so many ways that we can be guilty of doing this, because we're not putting a gun to anybody, so we can justify it. We don't think it's a big deal. I got another type of stealing, intangible theft. Intangible theft. This is like where you cheat. You steal somebody else's answers on a test. You steal somebody else's ideas, or you steal their research. Plagiarism. And when I wrote that down, I felt really compelled to put down here, I'm using the following sources for the sermon: William Barclay's The Ten Commandments, and Ron Mills' The Tender Commandments, and Cecil Thunder of Mountain, Jerry Vine's Basic Bible Sermon. So I just want to be clear here. Copyright laws, you know, there's, when you're not obeying copyright laws, that's an issue. I'll give you a biblical example. David stole Uriah's wife, Bathsheba. Well, that's an example of taking something that's tangible. But then after that, David's son, Absalom, he comes along and he steals his father's good name. He steals the loyalty of David's men from him. Are you guilty of stealing somebody's name, a good name? Are you slander them? Are you steal their reputation? Are we guilty of these things? So there's intangible theft, and there's long-term borrowing. Let me throw that one in here. Romans 13:8, let no debt remain outstanding. You know, like school loans, credit cards. You borrow $20 from somebody. Somebody borrowed my weed eater about a year ago. I think this would be a good time to say, hey, I'd love to get that back. Really, I don't remember who borrowed it. Psalm 37, verse 21, the wicked borrow and they do not repay. That's what the Bible says. The wicked borrow, but they do not repay. That would be somebody who's wicked. That's a bad person who does this in God's eyes. So are you justifying? Are you thinking it's no big deal? You know, they got plenty of weed eaters over there. That's the only weed eater I had. So spiritual theft. Think about spiritual theft. The Bible says, give to Caesar's what is Caesar's. Give to God what is God's. In Malachi 3, it says, will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how do we rob you? In tithes and offerings. See, when we don't bring the Lord our first fruits, when we don't tithe, because what is tithing? Tithing is a recognition that it all belongs to God and it all came from God. It says in 1 Chronicles 29, wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Now, our God, we give you thanks and we praise your glorious name. But who am I? And who are my people that we should be able to give generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. See, David recognized it all comes from God. It's all a gift from God. And so he wants to give back to God. But we live in a world today that, you know, I can't afford to tithe the church. You know, I got an electric bill to pay. I can't afford to give back to God. Well, you know what's going on here? You don't recognize it's all coming from God. You don't recognize it all belongs to God. So it's a problem in the way that we process things, a problem in the way that we think. It's a worldly worldview instead of a biblical worldview to rob God, to cheat God. So we do this. We rob God by not giving him our first fruits. We rob him when we don't give him the glory he deserves. When we take glory for ourselves, and I'm thinking I can give all kinds of examples where you do something great and everybody's patting you on the back. Well, how come you did that? You know, how did you have the ability to do that great thing that you did? You had that ability from God. God gave you the ability, and yet you don't recognize God. You don't give God any glory. So we steal his glory. We steal when we don't give back to him the first fruits. So all these ways that we rob. So I give you all these examples here. There's basic theft. There's sophisticated theft. There's intangible theft. There's long-term borrowing, the stealing from God. It says in Romans 2, you who preach against stealing, and that would be me right now, but that's every parent who tries to teach their children right from wrong. It's every Christian who says, this is wrong. But it says, you who preach against stealing, do you steal? As it is written, God's name is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. Oh, that hurts. That cuts to the heart. That people are saying bad things about our Lord and our Savior because of our hypocrisy. Because we are just as guilty as everybody else. So we got to pay attention here. We got to learn what is God trying to teach us here? What is it that we need to change? What is it that we need to do? A Gallup poll revealed that the general public did not trust Christians any more than anybody else. Matter of fact, if you call yourself a Christian, chances are a lot of people would trust you less than other people. Oh, you're a Christian. Oh, you're a hypocrite. See the label that we've gotten, the reputation that we've gotten? And here's the reason why. In Chicago, there were riots in the streets and looters. And one man, he was caught by the cameraman, a reporter out in the street. This reporter caught this man coming out of a record store with his arms loaded with records and tapes. And a television reporter, he interviewed him, and he asked. He says, what kind of records have you got there? Well, the man said with a big smile, that they're gospel records. It says, I'm a Christian. I love Jesus. Yeah, they go, way to let your light shine there, buddy. You know? No remorse, no guilt. Why? Because everybody else is doing it. Because insurance will cover it. Do you see the black eye that you're giving Christianity, the black eye you're giving Jesus, the black eye that you're giving the church? I found another story here. A locksmith was called to pop the lock on a car, and he popped it within 30 seconds. It was a minister's car, and the minister asked him who to make the check out to. The locksmith said he wouldn't take a personal check, cash only. Well, the minister explained that. You don't have to worry about me. You can trust me. I'm a minister. The locksmith said, that's the last person I'm going to trust is a minister. So the minister had to go to an ATM to get cash out of the bank in a city that he was not familiar with. He didn't know where the ATMs were. There was extra charge on the ATM fee. And so he had to go get cash before he could get his car back. Do you see? It's because we live in a world without trust. It is expensive because of locks. And because of security systems, it's inconvenient because of passwords, and I hate passwords. It's frustrating. Why? Because we, Christians who preach, do not steal. We steal. So then I would ask you, why are we guilty of this? I mean, I would never hold a gun to somebody's face and demand their money. But would I be guilty in some of these other areas because it's easy, because I can get away with it, because nobody's looking, because I don't care? Why do we steal? So a couple things that came up, maybe it's just the greed inside of us that makes us do these things, to get something for nothing. Luke 12, verse 15 says, "Watch out, be on guard against all kinds of greed." Is that what's driving you to do something unethical? Is that what's driving you to be disobedient to God, is because you see it and you want it? That needs to be taken care of. That needs to be given over to God. That's your flesh that's coming out in you, and not that you're not being led by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit would not lead you to do something unethical because it's out there and you want it. That's not of the Spirit. That's of the flesh. Could it be because of laziness? You just don't want to work for it. It's too easy to take it. And yet, this is a verse that every Christian should know this verse. Every Christian should be faithful to this verse. In Ephesians 4, verse 28, "He who has been stealing must steal no longer." This is a message that God wants for you here today. "He who has been stealing must steal no longer. He must work, doing something useful with his own hands." Why? "That he may have something to share with those in need." Christians of all people should have a strong work ethic. We work so that we can be a blessing to other people. We don't want to be a burden to other people. We don't want to be a reason for people to blaspheme our Lord. We want to be a blessing to people. So why do we steal? Could it be greed? Is it laziness? Is it the adventure to see if you can get away with it? U.S. Department of Commerce estimates that 35 million Americans engage in shoplifting each year. 35 million. And once again, I would say, who pays for all that stolen merchandise? We do. They raise all the prices on everything. So eventually, we have to pay for it. 35 million Americans engage in shoplifting. 70% of theft is done by people who could easily have afforded it, but they wanted to see if they could get away with it. They just wanted to see if they could get away with it. That's what I want to challenge that right now. You know, why would we think that? Why would we do this when the Word of God clearly forbids this? Which leads me to the fourth reason, which I think this is the heart of it. It's demonic. This is demonic. It's the flesh. And I take you back to the Garden of Eden. The Garden of Eden was perfect. The Garden of Eden was peaceful. No locks, no security systems, no passwords. And then Satan enters in. And he steals the word of God from Eve. So, did God really say you can't eat that? That you can't touch that? Did God really say that? And what happens? So because Satan gets into Eve's mind, Eve takes something that she was forbidden to take. The only thing in the garden that she was not allowed to take. The only thing she was not allowed to have. She takes the forbidden fruit. Now, then, why? Was it because she was in need? Was it because she was hungry? No. It's because Satan is a thief, and he's a taker. That's what he does. He takes. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. This is what Satan does. And what Jesus says, you belong to your father, the devil. You want to carry out your father's desires. So you take and take and take. And we live by our flesh, and we're just like Satan. Romans 8, verse 7 says that the sinful mind is hostile to God. We don't want to do the will of God. We want to do what Satan is putting in our heads. We want to take. And you contrast that. A child of the devil, who's just like the devil, who takes, who steals that which does not belong to him. You contrast that to a child of God. We are children of God, and God is a giver. God loves to give. God gave his one and only son. He gave us Jesus. And everything that God controls, gives. The sun gives us light. The sun gives us warmth. It gives us heat. The earth gives us food. The rivers, the oceans, gives us water to drink, to live by. All these things. God is a giver. The children of God, we exist to give. We exist to be a blessing. And I take you back to Ephesians 4. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work. Why? Do something useful with your own hands that you may have something to share. So you can be a giver. So you can be a blessing and not a burden. So you're not taking people's stuff, the stuff that doesn't belong to you, but you're giving people stuff. You're blessing people. Romans 13, verse 9 says, the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet, and whatever other commandments there may be are summed up in this one rule. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to its neighbor. You see, this is the mentality that we need to have. We are to love each other. And if we truly love each other, we wouldn't take from each other that which does not belong to us. That was going to hurt people. We are not takers. We are givers. And as Christians, God working through us, the Holy Spirit working through us, could be the antidote to a world full of thieves. A world with bars on the windows. Shame on us if we are just like everybody else. Shame on us if God's name is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of our hypocrisy, because of our selfishness, because of our flesh that wants to take that which does not belong to us. We need to be givers. I'm thinking about the back page already. Okay, I'm thinking it's going quick. Think about this here: the pain of stealing. If you buy into Satan's lies, if you take that which does not belong to you, not because you need it. Nobody here needs it. You just want it. You want something for nothing. So you start listening to Satan, and what happens? First of all, it destroys relationships. You might get away with it. You might not get caught. But whoever you stole from, they feel violated. It leaves people emotionally scarred. I had a friend whose house was just broken into not too long ago, and they were devastated, violated, unable to trust anybody now. So you leave somebody where God is trying to make beautiful things. Atticus and Olivia, they were up here singing, you know, he makes beautiful things. God's trying to make something beautiful. And look at what Satan's doing. Satan is destroying what God is trying to do. And you go from being a person who is able to listen to God and live for God and trust God to being a person, now you can't trust anybody. And if they do catch you, if they do find out you stole from them, a lot of people will never forgive you. I mean, I know the Bible says you're supposed to forgive, but they won't. They'll never trust you. And you yourself, you may feel so ashamed about what you did that now you can't look that person in the eye. Whether they caught you or not, you know you're guilty. So now you have severed a relationship with them just because of the guilt that's destroying you because you bought into Satan's lies. I want to share some scriptures here with you. The biblical mindset, Luke 6, verse 31, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. It's the golden rule. Do you want people taking your stuff? Then quit taking people's stuff. Don't take people's stuff. Not an individual, not a corporation, not the governments. If it doesn't belong to you, don't take it. Matthew 22, verse 39, love your neighbor as yourself. Love them. John 13, verse 35, by this all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Do you see what's happening? Do you see what you're doing to other people if you steal from them? Romans 13, 9, once again, the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet, and whatever other commandments there may be are summed up in this one rule, love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. If you have bought into a mentality that you can steal and you can get away with it, it's no big deal, you are not acting in love. So it destroys relationships. It destroys your reputation. Proverbs 22, verse 1, a good name is more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed is better than silver and gold. Get your eyes off the silver and gold. Get your eyes off of the great riches and get your eyes on what it means to have a good reputation, a good name. See, it's about your character. It's not about your credit score. Third thing it does, it destroys your self-respect. You remember Jesus had one of his disciples was a thief, Judas. And Judas sold Jesus out.
and he couldn't live with himself. And he went out and hugged himself. Your guilt could tear you up. And you get to the point where you hate yourself because you're listening to Satan's lies. And it breeds more corruption. Someone steals from you, you justify stealing from someone else. You say everybody's doing it, which leads to everybody expects it. They accept it. It's just the way the world is. And we become a world where nobody can trust anybody. And what I ask you, what I've asked you the past couple weeks, consider the cost. Look at what it's doing. See, if every person who called themselves a Christian, if every person in America who called themselves a Christian would repent and would change and would do the honorable thing, to do the right thing. I remember growing up in a world where people didn't lock their doors. You think we could ever get back there? How come just 50 years ago that's how it was? And now everybody has to lock their doors. All the security stuff that we do. How did we get here? And how do we get back to where we were? And then one of the reasons nobody locked their doors 50 years ago is because people just didn't have nice stuff 50 years ago. Now our stuff is so nice, and we love our stuff so much. Maybe there's a problem. We just got way too much stuff, and now because we have all this stuff, now we have to spend all this money on keeping our stuff safe. But it breeds more corruption. And the fifth thing it does, it destroys your walk with God. You buy into this mindset. You don't listen to God on this basic commandment, and it's going to destroy your walk with God. Matthew 16, verse 26, what good is it for a man if he gains the world, yet forfeits his soul? Oh, you're rich now because of all the stuff you stole, because you got away with getting away with something on your taxes or reporting something fraudulent on your insurance. And now look at all your nice stuff. But there's all this guilt, and you don't feel right in your walk with God. And the basic problem here, you're not trusting God to provide. You think God doesn't care? You think God doesn't see? You're not content with what he's given you? You're okay with hurting others to get what you want? You're okay with hurting people whom God loves? So we got to put an end to this. And the first thing I would challenge you to do, repent. And repent, change your mindset. I'm hoping I've said something today that makes you think, oh, I'm guilty there, and I need to do better there, because God's name is being blasphemed among the Gentiles because I'm guilty there, because I didn't think more about this issue. I didn't care about this issue. And you got a bad reputation now. People are saying things. People see things. You need to repent. Jesus was nailed between two thieves. One of those thieves admitted he was guilty, and he turned to Jesus for mercy. And within moments, he was promised paradise. He was promised, today you will be with me in paradise. So I don't know, can you relate? Can you identify? Are you just like one of those thieves? Are you like the other thief that, yeah, you're guilty, but you don't care? Or are you like this one thief? You're guilty, but you do care, and you want to make it right. So repent, change your mindset. Don't let Satan get in your mind. Don't let Satan mess with you like he did with Eve. And then change your lifestyle. He who has been stealing must steal no longer. Don't steal from your neighbors. Don't steal from your employer. Don't steal from your employees, from the government, from a corporation. Do something useful so that you might have something to share. We need to be people who are content. We need to be people who are grateful. We need to be people who are generous. We need to be people who are obedient. And we need to trust God to do it his way. You want something that you don't have, so you grab, you take. You know, you could work. You could wait and trust God in his time. He will provide. Don't take a shortcut. Don't be greedy. Don't be shady. Don't be selfish. Don't be unethical. Because you are a Christian. And because you love God. And because you love God, you love others. People who are made in his image. And for the love of yourself, your witness, your conscience, because you want God's blessing, and you know God can't bless you if you're not obeying his commandments. Repent. Stop living by the flesh. Stop doing what everybody else is doing. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Develop a biblical worldview. It all belongs to God. It's all just stuff. And then secondly, I would ask you, make restitution. This is a very biblical concept that we don't talk about very much. You might say, okay, Pete, I hear you. I know what you're saying. I'm guilty, and I will confess my sins to God, and he will forgive me. Isn't that good enough? Well, that's half of it. Your neighbor still needs his stuff back, okay? What do you do about that? In Exodus 22, verse 1, if a man steals an ox or a sheep and slaughters it or sells it, he must pay back 5 head of cattle for the ox and 4 sheep for the sheep. See, now we don't have oxen and sheep, but you go in, there's a couple other places in the Bible, in Leviticus 6, in Numbers chapter 5, it talks about, what's it in Leviticus chapter 6? The Lord said to Moses, if anyone sins and is unfaithful to the Lord by deceiving his neighbor about something entrusted to him, or left in his care, or stolen, or if he cheats him, if he finds lost property and he lies about it, or if he swears falsely, if he commits any such sin that people may do, when he thus sins and becomes guilty, he must return what he has stolen or taken by extortion, or what was entrusted to him, or the lost property he found, or whatever it was he swore falsely about. He must make restitution in full and add a fifth of the value to it. That's the biblical concept. Return it, confess it, return it, add a fifth. If you want to get right with your neighbor, if you want to get right with each other, if you want to get right with God. Numbers 5 says the same thing. It says here, say to the Israelites, when a man or a woman wrongs another in any way and is so unfaithful to the Lord, that person is guilty and must confess. So the emphasis is here, confess the sin and make full restitution for his wrong. Add one-fifth of it to it and give it all to the person he has wronged. I found a note here on restitution. Restitution reveals the wisdom of God and the failure of our present approach to criminal justice in America. Restitution kept the offender out of prison and kept him in society. It also enabled him to make his offense right by repaying the victim of the crime in a way that replaced the harm by the positive benefit. Thus, both the offender and the offended could live together, both with a sense of justice and human dignity. Today, the victim receives little or no compensation. If somebody steals from you, you're never going to get your stuff back. Receives little or no compensation. The offender makes no restitution and is forced to live apart from society in prison at society's expense. See the foolishness of how we do things today? See the beauty of how God did it? God said, make restitution. Confess, make restitution, add a fifth to it. Everybody does it. So why can't you freely admit and confess you did it, you messed up, and make it right with your neighbor? Make it right with God. Restitution is the result of salvation, not a requirement for salvation, but the result of salvation. It's a result of wanting to be right with God, wanting to be the child that God wants you to be. A loving relationship with God, a loving relationship with your neighbor. You love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, and you love your neighbor as yourself. And this is what being a child of God is all about, having a biblical worldview. So we do not steal. I don't want to break the heart of God, and I don't want to hurt my neighbor. So we don't steal. This is what God does for us. Let me close with one last story here, Zacchaeus. You know the story of Zacchaeus. It's in Luke chapter 19. Let me turn there real quick. Luke 19, Zacchaeus here. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. And he wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and he said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once, and he welcomed him gladly. And all the people saw this, and they began to mutter, he's going to be the guest of a sinner. Well, we're all sinners, okay? Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back 4 times the amount. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. I want to leave you with a couple thoughts here. Jesus knows where you are. He knew Zacchaeus was up in that sycamore tree. And he knows who you are. He knows you are a sinner. He knows the crimes you've committed. He knows what you're guilty of. And he knows what you need. You need to be right with God. And see, when you get right with God, and when you love God, then you will want a relationship with God, and you will want to be right with everybody else. Zacchaeus said, "Look, Lord, here I am. I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Zacchaeus had joy, and there was obedience, and there was restitution. Jesus said, "Salvation's come to this man's house today." Here's what I would challenge you to do in this area. If you're guilty, and you know you're guilty, take Jesus home with you today. Welcome him into your house. Welcome him as your guest. And live your life for him. And I'm betting you're going to see a lot of things change. And you will want to get right with all the people that you've wronged. So take Jesus home with you today.